Since President Obama took office in 2009, it's estimated that the U.S. drone program has killed more than 3,000 people in counter-terrorist strikes in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia, all ordered without due process or judicial oversight. On April 27th, the Yale Law School presented a panel discussion titled Thinking About Drone Warfare. The event featured four guest speakers from academia, human rights groups, law, and public policy organizations. Panelists discussed the constitutionality of drone warfare from varying perspectives, most concluding that whether under President George W. Bush or President Barack Obama, the secretive extrajudicial killing of anyone deemed to be a terrorist, and even more so the killing of totally innocent people in the process, is both legally and morally wrong. Sitting in the audience was Ralph Nader, a graduate of Harvard Law School, who excoriated his alma mater for not adopting a more critical attitude toward the use of drones and for failing to condemn the practice. He said he feared the only thing that would move most legal scholars to take a position was a drone strike on a convention of constitutional lawyers. In an April 14th commentary, Nader wrote, quote, "The 2001 congressional authorization to use military force is not an open-ended authorization for the president. It was restricted to targeting only nations, organizations, or persons that are determined to have been implicated in the 9/11 massacres or harbored complicit organizations or persons. Unless the American people come to realize that a president must be subject to the rule of law and our Constitution, our statutes, and treaties, every succeeding president will push the deficit finance lawlessness further until the inevitable blowback day of reckoning. That is the fate of all empires," Nader wrote. Between the lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Ralph Nader after the Yale Forum, where he placed drone strikes in the context of other post-9/11 attacks on human rights and civil liberties.
Well, it's in the matrix of massive recurrent violations by presidents now, Bush and Obama, of our Constitution, international treaties, and federal statutes. And we've all read the reports about secret laws, secret prisons, secret courts, indefinite imprisonment, torture, wars of criminal aggression against countries that don't threaten us, and illegal surveillance. And those are just the beginnings. And out of that comes the sense by President Bush and President Obama that they can send these drones anywhere in the world, violate any national sovereignties, all in secret, and that the president is the prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner of whoever the president, in his secret, uncontrolled judgment, thinks is either a suspect or someone whose free speech the president's despised. And so, as a result, thousands of innocent people have been killed. The drones have targeted actual housing compounds, funeral processions, wedding parties. Once there were 12 schoolboys collecting wood for the family. They were vaporized on a hillside. It's just continually to spread without any kind of accountability to Congress or to the courts or informing the American people in whose name all this violence is occurring. So the payback is going to be what the CIA has called blowback. It's going to come back to this country, whether in the form of external attacks or internal attacks, because the feeling of injustice and the grievances of these people overseas. Imagine living under 24/7 whining drones ready to strike. Imagine the millions of people have to endure that is going to come back and seriously damage our national security.
So there was a gentleman toward the end, the older gentleman, who was saying, you know, he still supported Obama and he felt like he was kind of being forced into it. Because I wasn't sure what he was saying. I guess that maybe this, you know, post 9/11 security state would demand this. What do you think about Obama's motivation, or, you know, do you feel like he's sort of been boxed into this, or this is something he's totally, you know, embraced?
Not at all. No, and he knows better. He's a constitutional law lecturer to begin with.
You got to watch out for those constitutional lawyers.
That's right. No, he has expanded Bush's outrages in every area except possibly torture. More drones, more invasions and incursions in other countries, huge secrecy. He's prosecuting whistleblowers in his own administration in ways that no other president has, invoking the Espionage Act of 1917. No, he's his own man, and he's decided to be presiding over the American empire and avoiding the rule of law.
What I think is interesting is a lot of people got very upset when Bush did a lot of things that people considered illegal and unconstitutional. There's been very little, certainly nothing on the scale of opposition when Bush did a bunch of different things. And, I mean, obviously this conference is one example of people who are, you know, taking up this issue. And there have been people, but it hasn't been like this broad-based outcry or opposition. Why do you think that is?
Because liberals operate under the least worst political decision-making. And they will forgive any Democratic Party outrage as long as they think the Republicans are worse. So, for example, they criticized Bush for freezing the minimum wage for years, but they don't criticize Obama for breaking his 2008 campaign promise and not advancing the minimum wage as he promised us during that first election. So it's the same old syndrome. It's a trap. It's what I call the least worst liberal trap. They lose all kinds of bargaining power. The Democratic leaders, once they get elected, never look back on them with any kind of respect or any kind of accommodation, even though they wouldn't be president without them.
That was citizen advocate, lawyer, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader. Find more commentary and analysis on drone warfare by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.